Come and see what everyone's talking about.
La ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. We greet you with the best of greetings. That's the greeting of peace. Peace be with you. And you are here to learn. That's why you turned on to the Deen Show, or you were just flickering through the channels and you heard Islam and Muslims, and you thought something's about to blow up, and you got excited. Hold on, that's not the case. We are here to try to help you develop a better understanding. So sit tight, we're going to be right back with Dr. Gerald Dirks, Christian scholar, graduate from the Harvard Divinity School, and we're going to be talking about Jesus, peace be upon him. Was Jesus a Christian, or was Jesus doing Islam as a Muslim? When we come back here on the Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Deen Show.
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 This is the Deen
Show.
This is the Deen
Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Peace be with you.
And with you, brother.
Now, you know, I started off the program, I introduced you, but before that, you know, I mentioned things blowing up. You know, there's some hype out there. People are trying to associate Islam with terrorism, mm-hmm. and Islam terrifying people. It's like the boogeyman that's coming to get you. You, as a Christian, you did your homework. Is this far from the truth, or did you, or you miss something here? Maybe you're going to have to backtrack. Talk to us.
No, it's obviously far from the truth. Mm-hmm. There are a handful of people who are self-proclaimed Muslims.
Yeah.
Who offer up a violent ideology that is a total perversion of Islam. The same thing, however, can be said for Judaism or for Christianity or for any of the world's religions. There are always going to be people who try to cloak their own geopolitical or nationalistic ambitions under a mantle of religion. And they'll grab whichever religion is handy, you know, whether it's Islam or Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or what have you. But no, Islam is not a religion of terrorism. It's not a religion that condones terrorism.
Some might say, and you've probably heard this, that all terrorists aren't Muslim, but it seems like all Muslims are terrorists.
Well, first of all, obviously all Muslims are not terrorists, but it's also the case that not all terrorists are Muslims.
Yes.
We had a case not long ago in Wichita, Kansas, where a doctor who was performing late-term abortions was murdered as he was standing in his church.
Yeah.
Who murdered him? A right-wing Christian ideologue who believed he was saving the lives of unborn children. And so he murdered the doctor standing in his church. This would be an example of a Christian terrorist.
Yes.
Now, Christianity certainly does not condone the sort of behavior that this murderer engaged mm-hmm. in. But this person claimed to be doing it in the name of Christianity. A number of years ago in Hebron, in Palestine, we had a Jew who went into the mosque at Hebron and started shooting Muslims as they prayed. Obviously, this does not represent Judaism.
Yes.
But this person was a Jew, and what he was doing in the name of Judaism.
Yeah.
You know, but we're going to find these sorts of things in every religion.
So it's not fair that you want to single out a few crackpots, you know, a few bad apples in every bunch, as they say there are. You had the Unabomber, if you look a little, Columbine shooting.
Absolutely.
You know, terrorists by the tons out there. But so we want to separate Islam, which is a perfect system, from the Creator, and what some, you know, crazy people might do, let's not put
Absolutely.
Those together. Is
Absolutely.
That fair to say?
Yeah, even though those crazy people may be trying to justify what they're doing by some perverted notion of Islam.
Yeah.
You know, that's no more Islam than James Jones or David Koresh, a representative of Christianity.
One more point before we get into it, because they'll say, and I've heard this, and it's a shame, they say, well, why aren't Muslims condemning this? And we're condemning it here on this show. We've done it so mm-hmm. many times, because people want to revisit 9/11, mm-hmm. and we know Islam, Muslims died in 9/11.
Absolutely. In fact, a disproportionately large number of the victims of the Twin Towers, and I'm not talking about the hijackers, I'm talking about people who worked in the Twin Towers, were Muslims. You know, it was a higher percentage than there are Muslims in the population of the United States who worked in the Twin Towers and were killed there. Now, you raise an interesting point, which is people say, well, why aren't, you know, mainstream Muslims standing up and condemning these attacks? The answer is we are, mm-hmm. and we're doing it consistently. But the problem is that a Muslim standing up and condemning terrorism, that doesn't sell a newspaper.
Yes.
That doesn't drive up the ratings and some talk television
show. It's not good for business, huh?
No, it's not good for business, and it's not going to cover it. The media will not cover it.
Yeah.
You know, but all of the major Muslim organizations in this country, of which I'm aware, have systematically condemned terrorism, mm-hmm. systematically spoken out against it. You know, whether it's the Islamic Society of North America or the Islamic Circle of North America or the Muslim American Society, you know, everyone has spoken up, but the press doesn't cover it.
And we're doing it again here on yes. the Dean Show. And you're available for CNN, Fox, if anybody wants to bring you on their mainstream channels.
Well, I'd be glad to condemn terrorism.
Definitely. And we are doing it again. So, but let's get in now to our main topic. Mm-hmm. Christianity, mm-hmm. Islam, which of these ways of life, which of these religions did Jesus Christ practice, teach, preach?
Well, obviously it wasn't Christianity because Christianity didn't exist, at least by name, at the time of Jesus. We're told in the book of Acts in the New Testament that the first people to be called Christians arose in Antioch, some years after the end of Jesus' personal ministry here on earth. No, Jesus was a Muslim, we're told.
Oh, hold on, yeah. Muslim.
Well, now let's look at what the word means, first of all. Let's look at what the word means. Islam means surrender. And in any religious context, it means surrender or submission to God.
To God.
To God.
To the one God.
Right.
Okay.
Muslim is simply a variant on the word Islam. It means one who submits or one who surrenders. Again, used in a religious context, it's one who submits to or surrenders to God. That's what Muslim means. Now, when we look at that definition, obviously...
It starts to make sense now.
Yeah, Jesus was a Muslim.
Yeah.
In that sense of the word, he was a submitter to God.
Yes. Now, what is Christian? When you take the, do the same thing and take, if someone says, well, no, Christianity means to submit to God. If you translate it, what does Christianity mean?
No, well, Christianity doesn't, you can't derive that from the word Christianity.
You can't.
No.
You can give it some kind of interpretation to say, yeah, that's what it, what well, we mean by it, but that's not what it, what
no,
it translates to.
No, it doesn't translate to that. Christianity, obviously from the word Christ. Christ is the Christos, the Greek form of the Hebrew word Mashiach, or Messiah, which in English means anointed.
Yeah.
That's the etymology of the word.
Okay, so let's back it up. So it goes from the Hebrew Messiah to Greek?
Christos.
Christos, translated, so Messiah translated yeah. to Greek Christos.
Yeah.
And then you got what? Christ?
Christ.
Well, you're cutting off the stos at the end?
Yeah, you're just shortening the word.
So you have Christ, yeah. and those who follow Christ, they came up with Christians, the Christ followers?
Well, in Antioch they did.
In Antioch?
Yeah.
Okay, so then how did people... Well, you know what? We're going to take a break, and this is really getting exciting. I'll be right back with more of Dr. Gerald Dirks here on The Dean Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show with Dr. Gerald Dirks. You finished seminary school. You have a divinity degree from the Harvard University. So we're not talking to, as I always say, just a car mechanic. We're talking to a Christian. I like to call you a Christian scholar, because we got to face it. You know more about the Bible than probably 95% of the Christian world.
Well, let me.
Most people don't even read the Bible.
Well, that's true.
Okay, so.
And most Christians have never read the entire Bible.
Yes.
But no, don't call me a scholar. Call me a student. I think that's a more accurate term.
Okay. Now tell us, Dr. Gerald Dirks, we're going to back it up. We'll even go back to Moses' time, because many people, and we are trying to really enlighten people to these facts. This is not fiction. Mm-hmm. So people attribute Moses to being a follower of Judaism. Mm-hmm. Is this true? Was he following the religion of Judaism?
Well, Moses also was obviously someone who submitted to God.
A Muslim?
Well, in that sense of the word, yes, he was a Muslim. He was someone who submitted to God. Now, if we look at the origins of the word Judaism, you know, really it begins with Judah.
Judah.
Who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob.
So Jacob, that's one of his sons, Judah. Okay.
So, I mean, here's the origins of the word. But really, what we call Judaism today.
Yes.
Doesn't really begin until around the year 400 BCE, when Ezra and men of the great assembly, Ezra returning from the Babylonian captivity, returning to Palestine, when they began to put together the great assembly and begin to write, apparently, some of the Old Testament, at least according to the Jewish Talmud.
Yes.
And this is really the origins of Judaism as we know it today. Before that time, we might talk about the religion of the Israelites, and that might make more sense.
Talk to us about that, please.
In terms of what now?
So the religion of the Israelites, were they ones that, the children of Israel?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So that was during the time of Moses then?
Well, this is a division I would make.
Okay.
You know, that I see Judaism really beginning at the time of Ezra and the men of the great assembly. But even then, we have different branches of Judaism that are going on. And Judaism that we have today, rabbinic Judaism, really is something that begins to take hold and develop after the destruction of the temple in the year 70 CE.
Mm-hmm. So this is around, is this after, again, the time of, this is definitely after the time of Moses.
Oh, yes.
So if he was to, if you were to bring him back to life right now, would he be practicing Judaism, Christianity, or Islam?
Well, obviously, as a Muslim, I'm going to say he's going to practice Islam.
But by definition, if we had all these terms, now you just described where Judaism comes from the tribe of Judah. You have Judaism, and then you gave the history. Then you have Christianity from Christ. This is named after a person, and then persons. And then you have Islam, which calls a person to acquire peace by submitting, like you said, submitting your will to the will of the one God. So, I mean, just as a layman, I know that Moses, he was calling people to that, and he was doing that.
Yes.
So we had a multiple choice. Well, I mean.
Well, I think if we had a multiple choice, what we'd have to say is that Moses would probably recognize elements in all three religions.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there would be elements within Judaism he certainly wouldn't recognize.
Okay.
That came into being long after his time. Certainly elements in Christianity that he would not recognize.
Would he recognize this God having a son or the Trinity or any of these things? Did he preach, teach, or give forewarning about this coming?
No.
Okay, this is very interesting. It's enlightening, and that's what we're trying to do, enlighten the hearts and minds of the people. Now bringing it back to Jesus, peace be upon him. So the main question here is, was Jesus, peace be upon him, was he practicing Christianity or Islam? And if you can just continue from where...
Well, again, Christianity didn't exist even by name at the time of Jesus. You know, there was... if we want to look at the origins of Christianity, to a great extent we have to look at Paul of Tarsus as the person who originated Christianity. much more so than one would look at Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say, okay, in the Arabic it's Islam?
Yes.
But now if you were speaking Aramaic, just like you, and correct me, you're our teacher here today, the language of Jesus, was it Aramaic?
Yes, it would have been Aramaic.
So when we look and we dig how he called on God, the Creator, because he didn't speak English, mm-hmm. he would say Allaha in Aramaic. Is this true?
Well, even in, we look at Hebrew.
Yes.
You know, we have in the Old Testament, we have the words Elohim and El Elohim. These are the words typically translated as God in most English versions of the Old Testament. And these words are linguistically similar, comparable, yeah. to the Arabic word Allah.
Yes.
Now, Hebrew and Arabic are sister languages of the Semitic language group. And we're told that the word Allah by Ibn Abbas simply means al-ilah. In other words, Allah is a contraction for al-ilah. And al-ilah, literally translated, is the God.
The God.
Period.
That's the one God.
Yeah. Now, Elohim, yes. in Hebrew, again, the gods, plural. But that's a plural of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take it a little deeper. Mm-hmm. If I spell al-ilah in Arabic letters, it's aleph, lam, aleph, lam, ha. Now, people listening, remember these letters. Aleph, lam, aleph, lam, ha.
Mm-hmm.
That's al-ilah. Now, if I spell El Elohim in Hebrew letters, I spell it aleph, lam, aleph, lam, ha, yod, mim. We have this yod and mim at the end of Elohim. Otherwise, the spelling's identical.
What about this Yahweh?
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this, could we say that this is the same Allah, or what would you give, and how would you translate this, the meaning of this Yahweh?
Now, biblical scholars have some debate amongst themselves
yeah.
as to the proper translation mm-hmm. of Yahweh.
I've heard it somehow translated as the ever-living God.
I am that I am, I cause to be what I cause to be. I mean, these are all sort of translations that have been offered by one or another
yeah.
biblical scholar. But certainly, yeah, Yahweh is God.
Yeah.
You know, the Quran tells us, you know, call upon Allah or call upon Ar-Rahman, the compassionate, by whatever name you call upon him, mm-hmm. it is well. You know, so yes, Yahweh,
yeah.
Elohim, Allah, God.
So as long as we're not now mixing up the Creator with his creation and forming a mental image, a picture,
yeah.
having God turn into a man, and then he over here is a cattle, and over here is a monkey, or anything
sure.
in the creation, that is where we draw the line and say, no, that can't be the Creator.
Absolutely, but we don't draw the line in terms of language.
Language, okay.
You know, if you're Greek, you're going to say Theos. If you're Latin, you're going to say Deus,
yeah.
you know.
So it's the concept here that we're really the attributes of God and how he defines himself mm-hmm. that we go by. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more.
Inshallah.
God willing, with Dr. Gerald Dirks.
He is the maintainer.
Coming to the truth requires two things. It requires deep thinking that you've already done, but it requires another step, and that's courage. If you have the truth but you don't have courage, you won't stand up for the truth. And that's as good as standing up for falsehood.
I would say this thing that you just told me, it's not in the scripture. And they would say, a marginal note added by a scribe, yeah, okay, we know that. And I'd be thinking, if you know this is not the Bible, why are you preaching it as if it's gospel truth?
I started out actually in high school. I was a born-again Christian. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, as we used to say, and I became very committed as an evangelical Christian, and I went off to Moody Bible Institute for college, which is a fundamentalist Bible college. After that, I went to Wheaton College, which is a liberal arts college. It's Billy Graham's alma mater. It's an evangelical school. So I had very solid evangelical Christian commitments. And eventually, I got a seminary degree, and I was a pastor of a Baptist church for a year. But gradually, for a large number of reasons, I started to question some of the assumptions that I had about the faith. For a long time, I thought that the Bible was inspired and inerrant, that there were no mistakes in the Bible. But as I engaged in historical research on the Bible, as I was getting my PhD in New Testament studies at Princeton Theological Seminary, I started finding mistakes in the Bible. And this cut away at my assumptions that the Bible was inerrant. And then I started questioning other parts of my faith. Is Jesus really divine? Is there really a Trinity?
Today we're talking about answering the question, Jesus, peace be upon him, who is beloved to our hearts. And we do this, these type of programs, because we want to share, because we care. And there's some misinformation about many of God's messengers, and God Almighty sent the last and final revelation, the last testament, the Quran, the verbatim word of God, to clear these things up. So we're just trying to share and give a different perspective. And all we ask is people that they have an open heart and open mind and consider. Mm-hmm. Tell us now this concept of acquiring peace, of submitting yourself to the one God. So if you were to take that into the Hebrew language, Aramaic language, French language, it's that concept. That's the main thing, that you submit and surrender your will to the will of the Creator.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's don't get hung up on a word.
On a word. People get hung up on the Arabic, yeah. And they just...
Yeah, you know... Whether you say Allah, or whether you say God, or whether you say Yahweh, you know, we're talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're German, you say Gott instead of God. Same thing. You know, and let's not let differences in languages drive us apart. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is the one and only deity.
Yes. So when we say the one and only deity, when we describe his attributes, I feel, as most of us do, that these connect with the human being, that he is without beginning, without end, that he is not like his creation, mm-hmm. that he is independent of all, but we're all dependent on him.
We are all very dependent upon him.
Yeah. So is this also something that all the messengers that we see, I mean, you know the Bible, you know, back and forth, is this what we see? If anyone who is sincerely looking to do God's will, if they even study as being a Christian or a Jew, and they study it, will they come to the same realization as most of us have, that, you know, Islam is definitely indeed in the Bible, and it's there as a message was taught by all the prophets, taught by all the prophets?
Sure. I think anyone who reads the Bible with an open mind and does a little digging will find the answer. And the answer is that there is one God, mm-hmm. And that we, as God's creation, are called upon to submit to him, to surrender to him, and that our one God is a very much a personal God.
Yes.
Is a God who offers us love, offers us compassion, offers us mercy. When we fail, he offers us forgiveness if we turn to him with repentance in our heart and the effort to change our ways. Many attributes of God. And by the way, another pitfall of language,
yes.
One that we can't avoid, we both have here today referred to God with the masculine pronoun.
Yes.
And obviously God, you know, we can't categorize according to masculine or feminine pronouns, etc. Mm-hmm. This is just simply the convention of the English language that we use the masculine pronoun. But the attributes of God, some are masculine in nature, some are feminine in nature. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Gerald Dirks, thank you very much. If people want to invite you to come and to give a talk, a lecture, a seminar, how can people get a hold of you?
They can reach me at my website, which is dirksonlinebooks.com. That's dirksonlinebooks, that's all one word, .com.
Thank you very much. May
my
God
pleasure.
Almighty, the Creator of love, reward you for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope that you got to benefit from another episode of The Dean Show. The question was raised and the question was answered. Jesus, peace be upon him, he did Islam. Moses did Islam. Abraham did Islam. What? Islam? Yes, they all sought peace from the owner of peace. They submitted themselves humbly to the one God, the one who created you, me, who created man, woman. But he's not a man or woman. It's the one God, the one that has given us so much. the one that we should be grateful for, thankful to. And if you like what we had to say here, continue to tune in every week. You can also call the number on the screen, 1-800-662-ISLAM, to learn more. And we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Until then, peace be unto you.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer through God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person and Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be out giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the da'wah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free, for free, for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.